So we are coming this morning to wrap these middle letters since I think it's July. We've been studying Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians. So we took a break after Ephesians because we did some sermons out of Acts to come up for air and assign some sense to that and think about applications there. But today we're thinking about applications through all these books. And I wanted to think, because we're gathered here on this week of Thanksgiving, I wanted to begin with touching on some of the verses that are at play in the middle letters related to gratitude and giving thanks. Now, I'm not necessarily giving you an exhaustive list, so you could probably mine the middle letters and find some other ways that Paul gets at these themes, but the ones that I put in your notes on the front side of your notes are some verses that stood out, and I intentionally left one that stood out not in your notes, so that's crazy too. So Ephesians 1, 15 through 16, let's look at that. Here's what we see there. This is Paul. He's talked about all the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. This is in Ephesians, and he reminds this church that for this reason, because Paul's heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for one another, he doesn't cease to give thanks for them, remembering them in his prayers. So giving thanks for the people of God was a part of the theme that that emerges in these letters. And it makes sense, right? Paul's trying to move these, where Paul's early letters are kind of establishing the gospel and helping us to know what that message is and kind of how churches, you know, ordered in a sense. He's really establishing us with the end goal of having us participate in the church together so that we can, according to Ephesians, make his glory known to beings in heavenly places. That's Ephesians 3. So that we, in Colossians, can live according to first principles and not be swayed by the things of this world. And then that example is given in Philemon of how that would take place. And then in Philippians, for these last few weeks, we've seen he has just been dogged in his determination to get us to participate for the progress of the gospel. I think that's the end game he has in mind through all these middle letters. So it would make sense that he's thankful as he sets out on this journey. He's thankful, remembers them in his prayers. In early Colossians, in Colossians 1, we have another kind of similar greeting as we begin. In Colossians 1, verses 3 through 14, we really have his opening thanksgiving. But in verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray for you because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. So that's down through verse 5. And then he wraps up this section in the middle there in verse 12. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So Paul kind of directs it. It's not just that Paul's thankful for all that they've received in knowing Jesus and following him, but he's asking them to, may they be strengthened with power, may they give thanks to the Father who's done this work, who's qualified them to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And that's even reflected in Philemon. I'm trying to go to these references. If I can remember where Philemon is. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Yeah. A smart person would have dog-eared these references, but not me. Okay, Philemon 1. Philemon 1, verses 4 through 7. Here's what we read there. This is Paul's greeting to Philemon. I thank my God, again, thanking God, when he remembers you in his prayers because Paul's heard of his love and of the faith that he has toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I've derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So Paul just laying out, thankful to God for this. There's a heart of gratitude that's emerging. And then we have like actual commands in these middle letters to live this way. So if you look over in Ephesians 5, the opening of the chapter, he's encouraging them to walk a certain way. So we might love addressing verse 3 so we can get into all the things that our world is doing wrong. So sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. So, of course, that needs to be clear, yes. But in the same way, let there be, this is verse 4, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Right? I mean, that's what you guys experience probably day-to-day lives. You never hear people complaining or talking about filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking. No, you just experience thanksgiving from others, right? No, it's, yeah, so this is a challenge for us, a challenge for us. Let not those things, they're out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. And then you go down, I mean, you could just keep reading that section, but down in verse 20, look at verse 15, if you're following along with me or just listen for it. Paul says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Like Paul's not admitting that we don't have problems out there. Of course we do. The world's a mess. So, but he's saying, therefore, don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine. That's debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. And here's what someone who's filled with the Spirit looks like. Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So this is the calling. And let me get to the Colossians reference too. Colossians 3, kind of the similar things. Put on then as God's chosen ones. This is Colossians 3:12. Holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, what do? Call our best friends and tell them what all that's about? No. If anyone has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So thankfulness is part of our, it's part of our mojo. It's how we operate. Mojo, that might not be a word some of you get. It's like how we operate. It's the default mechanism in our soul. It's the lever that is always on. You know, those notifications on your phone, I don't know if you know you can turn those off. Like most of mine are off. Somebody will say like, I texted you. Really? Well, I had no idea. Because I don't have those notifications turned on. You can toggle those on. And for the believer, what's always toggled on is thankfulness. It's always toggled on. Like when we speak to one another, what Paul's saying is thankfulness. That's what should characterize. You're always giving thanks to God, but you're giving thanks to one another. There's this new self that characterizes you. We're forgiving. We're living out this reality. So I loved, I was just... thinking, okay, what this sermon, like what do I say? How do I make this point? And Paul Tripp comes across my feed. And if Paul Tripp comes across your feed, it's usually a good thing and a very frustrating thing. So Paul Tripp comes right out with this timely post and he asks, what does the Thanksgiving season reveal about the human heart? Two things. First, it reveals that the human heart is hardwired for gratitude, that something inside our soul tells us that we should be thankful people. And two, it shows that by and large, we're not a thankful people. Ah, drat. We relegate our thankfulness to only a few days each year, and most other days we're grumbling, moaning, and complaining. Drat. Trips on it again. He has that knack and that persnicketiness to just know exactly what's going on in my heart. That I'd rather complain than be thankful. I'd rather moan than be thankful. I'd rather grumble than be thankful. So he gives us a Thanksgiving assessment. And he says, this is good news. Remember, like, of course you messed up. That's why Jesus had to die. In this post, he says all that. You know, Jesus went to the cross to fix stuff like this. So we should be thankful that we can lean into this. So here are 13 questions. The number 13, what a good lucky number. 13 assessments. So listen to these. And I'm sorry I don't have them in your notes. Again, this just occurred to me like this morning in my quiet time, basically, to these things. Okay. Would the people who live nearest to you characterize you as a complaining person or a thankful person? When was the last time you sat down to literally count your blessings? When was the last time you spent time grumbling, moaning, and complaining about life? When you look at your world, are you pessimistic about everything that's going wrong? When you look at your world, do you find yourself celebrating God's common grace? In other words, if you don't know what God's common grace means, it's like the things that seem right when the world should be wrong. Like that I can wake up and have a pot of black coffee. That's a common grace that God has allowed the coffee maker to work another day. What a blessing. I mean, it's just good. Six, do you view yourself as one who's been constantly shortchanged and neglected? Or do you view yourself as one who has been unfairly showered with blessings? How often do you fill in the blank with grumbling, like, if I only had blank, or I wish blank was different? How often do you fill in the blank with gratitude, like, I can't believe God has given me blank? In your relationships, are you encouraging friends and family to continue their grumbling? Like, let's come, let us grumble together. You know, though your sins are as scarlet, they're white as snow. Can you believe how messed up we are? In your relationships, are you encouraging friends and family to find reasons to give thanks to God? In your relationships, do you find yourself frequently tearing others down? Or in your relationships, do you find yourself frequently building others up? And I think all those assessment questions get right at the concern Paul has for the churches in these middle letters, in Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and in Philippians. He's thankful. He's thankful for them, and he's encouraging them to be thankful. And so I think, like wrapping up this first part, if you see, like, man, I do grumble a lot, maybe this week just intentionally take some time to be thankful. Or when you catch yourself grumbling, turn that into thankfulness. Like, it could be a lot worse. It could be a lot worse. And so it's good to remember that God's been probably more kind to us than we deserve. So that's kind of orienting us to this week from the middle letters. So now let's think about what these middle letters and how they apply to our hearts. So when we do a remix, we're thinking about these three different areas. We're thinking about how the word affected our hearts. We're thinking about how the word affected our minds. And we're thinking about how the word affects our lives. Because the idea, again, from James is, if we don't put something into practice, we haven't really heard. So if you come and listen to sermons just to come and listen to sermons, that's just nice religion. But that's not what the Bible's inviting us to. Jesus is trying to make us into a new people, and he does that as we apply what he's learned by the Spirit. So committing our heart, what's shown up? I was really impacted. That sermon on Philemon really impacted me, because I've wondered, do I need to be doing more when it comes to culture? I mean, I've wrestled with this in my own heart. Do I need to be doing more, like, with what's going on out there, and how does what is going on out there inform what's going on in here? And I think Philemon, we kind of have that mix of, there's realities that are going on that like what we believe about first principles and what we believe about basics of the Christian life need to be applied to our situations. So Paul's work with the first principles in Philemon shows that there's a way to put what we believe into play in culture, but it begins with us. It begins with us putting this into practice and leaning into that. And so, yeah, something happened in my heart just preparing that message that, and then just the confidence I have that even when I blow it, God's grace is more than I can live. Like, God's grace doesn't stop with, well, I've tried to live this, and well, that's as far as my grace is gonna run. God's grace runs further than that. So that prayer again from Ephesians 3, that's kind of what emerged in my heart, that God is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So in your heart in this series, what are some just reflections you have? Or maybe a prayer that has stuck with you that you started praying as you thought about what the word said in these weeks. That's what committing our heart looks like. We're reflecting and we're kind of communicating with God. Okay, this seems to be big. What's going on? So I think one of the residues of these middle letters is like we've pressed an application of what does it look like for you to be plugged into church in some way? And again, by that, we don't mean Sunday morning. We mean the lives of others. So you might have reflections on that. So that was committing my heart for me. In terms of my committing my mind, and forming some, what are some convictions that have emerged through these middle letters? Colossians 2, 6 and 8 is, 6 through 8 is huge, especially coming out of that last, coming out of the sermon series on Ephesians and getting back into Colossians. Part of the reason I ended up in the middle letters was because I wanted to preach Colossians. Now, for those of you that have been here a long time, I've already preached Colossians once here. I preached through the book in, I think it was 2007 or 2008 maybe, or 2006, it was a long time ago. And so I wanted to get back to that because I think there's like foundation laid in the gospel in Colossians. Now, I know some people, like when they go back and preach, they kind of rekindle an old manuscript, you know, kind of like talking to an ex-girlfriend or something, I don't know. So I just kind of start fresh. And so, again, I'm not saying that it's wrong to rekindle that. I've done that before too. But for this series, I started fresh. And Colossians 2, 6 through 8 is the passage that stands out, marks me, gives me conviction. So, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. That there is a connection between receiving Jesus and living. That is impactful. As you received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught. And then here's the Thanksgiving verse I didn't include, abounding in thanksgiving. Oh, abounding, why did he have to say that? Couldn't he just say and thankful when it comes to mind? You know, that would have been a lot easier for me, but abounding is a different kind of thing. So just as I received Jesus, I need to walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith. Abounding in thanksgiving. And then verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. And this is kind of where kind of convictions form. On the one hand, on the positive side, first principles are the foundation. If there's a way that Jesus wants us to live that is a foundation. But on the other side, there are a ton of things that the world and church people are gonna try to get me to make the focus of ministry. So, philosophy, empty deceit, human tradition, elemental spirits of the world. But I have to make sure that I'm building ministry on Christ. Period, full stop. So things of this world, even good things, are gonna try to allure me from Christ. And I think that's probably a warning that I would want you all to see as people, There are 1,000 things that church could be about that aren't Christ. And don't settle for them. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy, empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So what do you think we ought to be doing? And is that Christ? So, Colossians 2, 6 through 8 is the passage. The conviction is like, it's all Christ. I'm not playing games. You come to me with something else and you think like, you get so irritated. Yeah, because it's not Christ. It's not Christ. And yet I shouldn't be that irritated. So that's a whole other thing. That's a whole other sermon. So then committing my life. Committing my life. So what are the projects and habits? So we've talked about my heart. We've talked about my mind. What are some convictions? So like one of those things is like a conviction I have. I want to be able to do theology and culture better. Like I want to take what I believe and apply it to church culture and then how the world's impacting that. I want to do that so that we have the foundation in Christ. And so I have to keep equipping myself to that end. I need to keep reading and studying to know the right moves to make to equip people in that. I talked about that last week about just, I want Frank's speech to be characterized by our community better. Frank's speech. And I know a lot of you have given feedback on that about how it's challenging and it's needed. Just imagine if we had a culture that could say what needs to be said to one another. How would that change our community? And we could say that to one another in a way that it's not like we're not angry. We love one another. We're in this together. Frank's speech. So asking God for the skin, that's, I think, the thing that I need. I need the skin to receive Frank's speech better, and I need the faithfulness to give Frank's speech better in a way that's not out of anger. What we're really after in these committing my life section is, have you heard of the acronym for SMART goals? So SMART goals are like specific, like identify exactly what you want to accomplish. They're measurable, like specify how you'll measure progress and know when it's done. They're actionable, so maybe use action verbs or rather than to be verbs, action verbs. They're risky, they're gonna stretch us. They're time keyed or time bound that like we're not gonna delay, but we're gonna do this on this date by then. Michael Hyatt adds a couple things to the SMART goal paradigm. He says they should be smarter, and he adds an E and an R. They should be exciting, so it should energize and motivate you personally, and then it should be relevant. It should align with your values, your life priorities, and other goals. So we're looking for like smarter, we're looking for like smarter applications here. And so for me, I think the committing my life, the big thing, I think I have that in your notes. My excuses for lack of involvement in church life in deeper ways are just about me. It has nothing to do with what the Bible says, or it has nothing to do with biblical wisdom. So I think at this stage of my life, I can shrewdly maneuver my way out of calls to commitment by, well, I'm gonna pray about that. I don't need to pray about it. Jesus has said what I need to do. Right? Sometimes we get, again, a yes, pray about things. I'm not being that aloof, but you know, we get so spiritual that we excuse our disobedience. Like, well, I need to seek out the wisdom in that. Listen, the Bible's told you exactly what Jesus says, like for you to do. So quit monkeying around with this and do what the Bible says, you know. And then that applies to my own life. So my excuses for lack of involvement in church life in deeper ways are just about me. It's not really a Bible conviction. It's not about wisdom. It's me. So, for those of you that are plugged into small groups, you probably know I'm not in one. And so I'm telling you that the actionable, smarter goal that I have is I need to plug into one. When we launch this in January, I was thinking about starting a group, and then I got sick, and then I can make all the excuses and give you a nice narrative to make you think, oh, what a lovely person he is. And really, it's just about me. It's not about wisdom. It's not about being more biblical. I just need to join a small group. So you'll be able to hold me to that. You should be able to come up to me on a Sunday and say, well, did you do it? Or you should see me at a small group. So that's what I need to do to commit my life. That's what it looks like. I need to be in this. So I left some space there. I don't know if you've been doodling or writing some thoughts as I've walked through this. I did get the elders to weigh in. Ron gave me a summary of some things, and Tom gave me some things that he was wrestling with too. You might know for the annual meeting, we're asking you to affirm Jason Nather as an elder, and so I thought it'd be appropriate for Jason to come up and talk so you could get more FaceTime with him. Like if you haven't experienced him teaching Sunday school, or if you haven't, Jason, if you wanna go ahead and start coming up. So if you haven't experienced him teaching Sunday school or you haven't experienced him in his small group, I mean, I think we've been vetting him all year and kind of praying about this, thinking through, they've been praying about it. We feel like this is the logical next step to fill in here. So I asked Jason to come and kind of help me unpack some of his remix here. So yeah, maybe, which color is it?
White.
White.
I'm trying to turn it on.
Oh yeah. There you go.
Good morning. Phil said he was gonna let me use this. So, good morning. How's everyone doing? Okay, so heart, head, hands. Man, where to start? It's a lot. If I could just say my big takeaway after going through all the letters is relationships matter. They really matter. Am I supposed to say more?
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I think they do. Okay. I agree.
I could go through with a couple bullet points, because man, there's a lot of places my heart was hit going through these letters, or I could just kind of walk you through how relationships matter and kind of ground that to the text and kind of pull in some of the things where my heart's been grabbed. But I've got some notes here, so I'm going to try to stick to those because I'm aware of time for all of us. Otherwise, I will just start gushing and be up here for longer than you want me to be. But so going back to Ephesians, my big takeaway is the church matters. And it's not about our buildings, it's not about our meetings or our programs, it's about the people. It is the people that matter. It is through the church, the people, that the awesomeness of God is made known to everything in all of existence. How does this happen? How does this happen? When we, the church, the people, we are to do the work of the ministry. We're to build one another up in love. We're to speak the truth to one another in love. Why? So that we can grow together, being knit together, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's not an individual thing. Because God, here's the thing, like it's anchored in the text, because God has chosen to make himself known in this way through us together. So I am to build you up in love. I am to speak the truth to you in love. Phil and I didn't conspire on this ahead of time either. Why? So that Jesus' goodness can be made known. So the church matters, and the church is the people, and if my love for you is how Jesus has chosen to make his goodness known, then relationships matter. They matter a lot. All of my relationships in all of my life matter for all of the time, and not just Sunday morning. How I treat my wife, it matters for making God's glory known. How I treat my kids, it matters for making God's glory known. How I treat my boss, even though it's hard sometimes, it matters for making God's glory known.
Yeah, can I?
Do you, like, want me to stop?
No, you're good.
Okay.
I just want to say, like, you're not saying that this matters because you're an elder candidate.
No, I'm talking as Jason, as a brother. Yeah. Thank you.
That's the clarification.
Yeah, I didn't know you were going to tee that up this morning. So when I said that, I was like, okay, yeah. This is going to might sound different.
Yeah. No, all good.
Thanks. Thank you. Yes, this matters. Yeah, to be an elder, you have to anyhow. We'll stop. Okay. This is how God's glory. This is how God's glory is made known through the majestic mundane of everyday relationships. Relationships, they matter. Okay. And rolling out of Ephesians, so that was actually a quick overview of Ephesians. If you're familiar with the letter, you probably were connecting with some things there. But rolling out of Ephesians, we went through Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians. In Colossians, we saw Paul's concern for the church in Colossae when he said that he was struggling for them, that their hearts would be encouraged, being knit together in love. Why? So that they would reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of Christ. Paul was afraid that they would get pulled away from the simple truth of the gospel and the first principles of loving one another by plausible arguments and human traditions. We would never let traditions get in the way of human relationships, would we? Anyhow, might be guilty of that. They were to hold fast to Jesus and to put on love for one another. And I was reminded that this Jesus thing, it is pretty simple. Love Jesus, love one another. Relationships matter. In Philemon, we saw this lived out when Paul appealed to Philemon, not with some heavy-handed authority, but like a brother, like a father. And he appealed to him for Onesimus to accept Philemon back as a brother in the Lord. Relationships matter. It's all very relationally based. And then we got to Philippians, the last letter we went through. And for me, this letter has been like a little nuclear bomb in my life. I've actually taught through Philippians twice, and man, there was stuff that I got from it this round through that I was like, whoa, I never saw that before. And to me, this is like the letter to Crestview. It's better than saying man, the letter to Corinthians is a letter to Crestview. That wouldn't be good. But the letter to Philippi is like a letter to Crestview is what it feels like to me. The church in Philippi, they'd been around for a while. Paul planted it during his the beginning of his second missionary journey, and they immediately partnered with him in his work. They funded him through his second missionary journey, his long time he spent in Corinth, and then through his third missionary journey and the intense work he did in Ephesus and the expansion of the church in South Asia. And then he goes back to Jerusalem and he goes off to prison, and they're still sending him support. And so he writes him this letter. He's like, man, thank you. Thank you for partnering with me in this good gospel work. But he's like, but you guys, don't forget, you have work to do right where you're at. And I'll just say, Crestview, to connect that back to Crestview, we have a lot of really amazing stuff going on abroad, good gospel work. We just had, crews come back from overseas this last week, and another one's going out this morning. People last month came back from Africa. There's lots of really amazing good gospel work going on because of the people at Crestview. It's really exciting. But Paul writes Philippi, and he says, I like how you have the clock right here. So, he calls them to work, to the work that they have right in front of them. In Philippians 1:27, he says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. How does he call them? How does he call me, us, into this striving side by side for the faith of the gospel? It's a legitimate question. How does he call me to strive for the faith of the gospel? It's side by side. He continues in Philippians 2. He says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord in one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition, but in humility count others more significant than others, or than yourself. Count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on, like to give this really powerful example of Jesus, and he goes on to give three examples of men who are laying down their lives for the church, Timothy, Epaphroditus, and Paul himself. And what really got me here in the middle of Philippians was, with all that Paul had done and his decades of serving Jesus, he had not lost his fire. He had not lost his passion. He had not settled. He wanted more of Jesus. And this made me ask the question, am I still that passionate? Have I settled? Have I gotten too comfortable in my Christianity? And I just like, man, I need to take a cue from Paul. I need to let myself be excited about the simple awesomeness of the gospel. Jesus saves sinners. I need to let myself be excited about pursuing holiness again. I need to let myself be excited about the church, the people. You guys are awesome. I'll just say, like, as a side note, it's been a really tough year for Stacy and I in a lot of different ways. And we are so thankful to be here, and so thankful for the love and the relationships. At the center of Philippians and all of Paul's letters is the church, the people, and their relationships. And even at the end of the letters, Paul gives these greetings. It's like he's connecting people from different churches. I think there's something for us to learn there too. Like, Jesus has a lot of people, like abroad and here in Hutchinson, that are about his work, doing good gospel work. And here's like the kicker for me, and maybe for you. This is where kind of rubber hits the road, and we're going to try to get smarter. Nothing actually happens here if I'm not making moves to know and be known. Nothing actually happens if I'm not making moves to love and be loved. So I'm trying to love Jesus better than I ever have. I'm trying to love Stacy better than I ever have. I'm trying to be more committed to our small group and the people in it. Where are my people at? Come on. All right. Yeah. Awesome. Yep. So I'll kind of throw Stacy in here. We don't see small groups as just another meeting to attend, but rather a group of friendships to pour our lives into. Some really practical things like we try to do lunches with people whenever we can. We try to grab coffee. We try to do game nights. Sometimes those might get violent. sorry, Michael. Fire pits. Just really practical things like actually building friendships, because relationships matter, because Jesus matters, because making his goodness known really matters. And this is how he's chosen to do it. He went out of his way to bring hope to a broken and hurting world. He gave everything to make his love known to us, to communicate to us, to build this relationship with us. So the questions I'm constantly asking myself recently is, who has the Lord put in my life? Not like, who do I want to go hang out with, or what are my favorite people here in Crestview? I'm looking around, I'm going, who has the Lord put in my life? Who has he put in front of me to love? And what am I actually doing to know them better? And then, like every week, I try to ask this, what can I do this week to actually love somebody? I told a group of friends recently, I said, I'm the king of mediocre. And they kind of laughed. And I said, what I mean by that is, like, I don't think I'm a great friend. I don't think I'm great at loving people necessarily. But what I can do is I can try, and by the grace of Jesus, and I can go like, man, this person's right in front of me. Hey, they seem like they're interested in hanging out. Okay, let's go. Wanna do coffee? Like, it's not that complicated. And to actually just ask people about their life and get to know them and pray with them. And all this is like the big takeaway from all these letters, is relationships matter. That's my big takeaway. Like, why? Because the gospel matters. And Jesus has given his life for this church, this people, to make his goodness known. And he does that. He's chosen to do that through our love for one another. And if we don't have relationships, then his goodness won't be made known. That's what I got. So I'm sorry. I know I went over.
No, it's perfect. Do you want to, I know last time you said, yeah, perfect. Thanks. So the goal, why we keep massaging these rhythms into the life of the church is because we feel like this is a way that, because these relationship matters, we want to benefit from one another. So we're trying to model that from a stage. But does anybody out there have something, heart, mind, or life that they would be willing to share? We have just a couple minutes where you don't have to do anything well thought out. You could just say, hey, I think one thing that stood out to me was this. And however you want to share that, I'd love to do that. Get our appetites going for tonight. Oh, Greg, yeah. Are you okay running the mic, Jace?
Yeah. I got to tell you, folks, I come up here from Arizona 6 years ago. And this is the honest truth. I have never in my life had friends like I have here.
Yeah.
Josh may not know it, but I care for this man a lot, a lot. He's a good Christian, and he means a lot to me. You all mean a lot to me. You're my life now. Yeah. You're my life.
Good. What else? Something that stood out. It could be heart, it could be mind, like a new conviction you have over the last few months. It could be something out of your life that, man, I have to live differently in light of this. Taylor was willing to go. We have a guinea pig, another guinea pig.
So obviously my family and I have missed, I'll stand up, the last few weeks, but been some of the meetings, we've talked a lot about the power of the church through Christ and the experience that we got overseas these last 3 weeks and the people that we got to meet were so amazing. And it really, it was crazy how the Holy Spirit kind of worked through and it made me see like, man, the true power of Christ through the church, the worldwide church, is beyond what we can even imagine. If we all are able to partner together and get rid of those worldly philosophies and the human traditions and things like that and just center on Christ. Like I said, I know this is not a recap of our trip, but man, we saw a lot of great people doing a lot of great things for the kingdom of Christ. And if we can continue to partner with those people as a body of Christ, man, God's gonna do amazing things in this world. And he already has. But it was really cool to see the power of the church in throughout the world. So.
Anything else? Just maybe a minute or two more. Oh, Greg, Harold, Jane.
Well, being thankful is a big one for us. And we are so thankful for each one of you. And we're thankful for my, as my daughter says, my trophy husband. And she included herself, but that was in your face, brothers.
Yeah.
And we just have so much to be thankful for. And I look around and there's so many others that have so many more needs than what we've had this last year. And I just want to thank you for holding us up in prayer. I do want to share one thing. Yesterday, how do you say that? Say it for me, because I can't. I'm trying to say, I got off of meds, and it was nasty. But at least now I'm off of the ones that take you away in Wonderland each day. And I'm just thankful I can start thinking.
Most of the time now she makes sense.
I hope to make sense. But anyway, I just want to thank each one of you and for all you've done for us and the many prayers and the many cards and the food. Oh, my goodness. I'm thinking my cooking might be kind of shallow. But anyway, don't show me up, girls.
Yeah.
God bless.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, let's just end there because we're at time. And thank you. And as we're going through these series, as we get into the new year, just know we're going to be in the new year. The rhythm is going to be 5 weeks and then one of these. And then we're going to have some series that go through. But as something emerges, just circle that in your notes. And then when we come back, we can maybe have a time where you could just share that out and edify the body. Or maybe you have something from your small group that would share. So yeah, thankfulness in these middle letters. I hope just impactful. And keep stewing on these. Keep thinking through these things. Keep leaning in. You know, God, how are you stirring in my heart? And so I tried to put those questions in your notes at the breaking of each heading. So under the heart, the question is, what's coming out of your heart through this series? What convictions do you have? What does it mean for you? And then committing your life. What are some lifelong habits or projects that will be in your life or something you need to put into practice? So we want to keep pressing into that. And the reason we're pressing into this is because of Jesus. Like, it's about knowing him, but it's together we make him known as the body. And so let's keep leaning into all this so that we can glorify and enjoy him forever. Let me pray.